Yes, hello there and welcome to Join Up Darts. This is an archive show, which means that I'm not here at the moment, but it's all pre-recorded. But it does give you just a glimpse of what's been happening on the iTunes number one business entrepreneur show since we launched. Now, this show is different and you'll hear laughter, tears, shocking stories, real life turmoil, and of course, the kind of success blueprint that will change your life forever. If you want the dream life, then all the answers are here. Now, these are the old episodes, so to get right up to date listening to the latest stuff, then simply search Join Up Darts, click subscribe, and never miss an episode again. And of course, over at joinupdarts.com, you can get instant access to our free 12-day podcasting course or loads of amazing free downloads to kickstart your own entrepreneurial journey, all made by my own fair hand. So let's get on with the show. You got a lot of catching up to do after all. Enjoy.
When we're young, we have an amazing, positive outlook about how great life is going to be. But somewhere along the line, we forget to dream and end up settling. Join Up Dots features amazing people who refuse to give up and chose to go after their dreams. This is your blueprint for greatness. So here's your host, live from the back of his garden in the UK, David Ralph.
Yes, hello there world, it is David Ralph, it is Join Up Darts, and you are listening to episode 185, and we've got an amazing guest on today, because I've been having a chat with her, and I can just feel the personality, the motivation flooding out across the globe, and she's going to deliver a powerhouse, I just know she is, and she is a lady who may be small in size, but towers over so many people across the globe with her positivity, gung-ho spirit, and ability to overcome huge obstacles with a smile on her face. She calls herself the short chick with a walking stick, and for 4 decades since age 7, juvenile rheumatoid arthritis and a walking stick have been her constant companions. And although she took medications that helped ease the pain and allowed her to walk, those very same medications that she took actually stopped her from growing. So at the size of 4'6", she now finds herself battling the limiting thoughts that are not only hard enough when they're your own thoughts, but when they come from everyone else too, are doubly difficult. Now, she survived 8 complicated, nearly life-ending, record-breaking surgeries to keep her walking, and has survived the loss of both parents and other loved ones, as well as her own thoughts of suicide in childhood. So it's been a difficult time. Now, if that seems like this episode is going to be a grim one, then think again, as with her own business and inspirational content that helps people across the globe, bringing her more and more success, it's going to be anything but what is it that really lights her up inside? And how did she find the strength to keep on going after numerous painful operations when so many people would have resorted to playing the victim game? And where does she see her life in the future with so many things going on? Well, let's find out as we bring onto the show to start Joining Up Dots, the one and only Chris Harty. How are you, Chris?
I'm great, David. How are you?
I'm fidgeting, actually. I don't know what's going on at the moment with my chair, but I'm suddenly not comfortable, Chris.
Well, that's not good. You need to be comfortable, David.
I know. I'm a professional, and normally I sit here ready to go, but I am shifting around like one of those dogs that scratch itself against trees and stuff. I'm a bit like that at the moment, so I don't know what's come over me.
I don't know either. That's a really good question.
It's not the kind of question that you're going to be able to answer, is it? Really, I suppose.
I don't think so. No.
No. Yeah, maybe we will just leave it. But because you're so positive, you gave it a go, didn't you? And that sort of says a lot about you. You look at things that maybe other people would turn away from, and you give a go, like my itchy shuffling around.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't always see that about myself in life, but the older I get, the more I do recognize it. Yeah, absolutely.
So let's sort of start to sort of framing your life at the moment, because you are obviously American, you are obviously a lady, and as I said in the introduction, you're obviously quite a small lady. So whereabouts is life for you in the on the map of America?
I live in gorgeous Colorado Springs, Colorado. So I'm in one of the larger western states in the U.S. Let's see. How can I describe it? I'm somewhere a little bit closer to Mexico than Canada, and to the east of California and Las Vegas. but definitely west of the Mississippi.
So what would we do if I came out to go out with you for the day and we went on a date somewhere? What would be good in Colorado Springs? What would be the thing that would make it memorable for me?
Oh, man. Wow, that's a good question. What would make it memorable for you? You know, there's so much to see and do here. It's gorgeous country. We're at the foothills of the amazing Rocky Mountains, which just jut out from the side of town here. And the whole town is kind of built on the foothills of the Rockies. So it's spectacular scenery wherever you look. Gorgeous sunshine, 300 days a year. I love that. You know, I'm pretty simple. So for me, a great conversation with a lot of laughs and some good discussion in any beautiful setting is a winner for me.
So at the moment, I imagine that you're not sort of in the middle of the Rockies. You're in some bedroom somewhere with the curtains drawn. It's not a good image for you.
No, not so much. Not so much. But yeah, you know, I'm at the moment in my office, which is not so exciting. But I can see Pike's Peak from my windows, and it's a pretty gorgeous view.
Well, you enjoy it when you can after the interview, because I know it's sort of middle of the day out there. But let's take you back in time, because that's what I do on Join Up Darts, because yours is a kind of fascinating story that basically you were put into a situation that you had no control over, and you've had to deal with it constantly. And I've been watching videos of you on YouTube this afternoon, sort of preparing for this, and it seems to me that for many situations that you've been in, you would have been all right dealing with them a lot better if there was no one else around. If you was on planet Earth and there was no other humans there, you would have just got on with it and been quite content. But it's the other people, isn't it? It's the other people that have made it quite obvious that you are a small lady.
Yes. You hit it on the head, David. Very much so. If I could just live life on my own terms and just be accepted and for who I am and what I am, life would be so much easier and nicer and less complicated. But then you throw in the mass of humanity. And yes, I am one of them at times. But, you know, there's so many perceptions that we make about other people. And unfortunately, or fortunately, I have learned a lot about them all my life long, from a very early age. And I say fortunately or unfortunately because for the first number of decades, I really, I had an attitude in return to the one I was being given. And it didn't always deal very constructively with other people's opinions about me. But what it did in growing through all of that, it really helped me learn whose opinions matter and whose don't. And largely mine does, and no one else's does as much. So it shaped me into someone who at this point in time I really like. And I have not always been able to say that. It's a really great thing to be able to say. So, you know, sometimes the things in life that are the most difficult and challenging and painful that we have to go through is not always an option. Those are the things that really turn us into who we are to become. And we have a choice, we can either become bitter and angry and turn it into negativity, or we can learn from it. Become wiser, more compassionate people towards others and ourselves, and go about life a bit more constructively.
I think it's true. Well, it's not true. It's really true that no one else's opinion matters other than your own. And that's one of the things that I'm finding out more and more doing this show, how so many people out there that are contacting me by email, and I put my hands up, I was like this myself, they kind of they live their life on what they think other people would want from them or what they think other people would expect them to do. And so many of them will go, ah, yeah, I always wanted to be this, but because my mum and dad wanted me to be that, I went into that. Or I thought that was a better job because it paid more money, but actually my passion's there. And it's lunacy, isn't it? We should have our own opinions and live by our own opinions. We should have our own life and we should get what we want from life because we're only on this planet once, Chris.
Yep, and for a pretty short amount of time, really. Yeah, absolutely. It is lunacy, David. You hit it. You hit that on the head, too. It is lunacy to live our lives for other people because we're the only humans that are going to be with us our whole lives long. Other people will tend to come and go. Now, family is a little different matter, but I tell you, even with family, once you you kind of break from that mindset of, oh, their family and their opinions matter all that much. Once you begin to even see them a bit more objectively and go on and do your own thing in this world, it's just really freeing. It's really freeing. And it's one of the best things I've learned how to do.
It's funny with family, though, isn't it? Because deep down, their opinions are being given because they love us and they care about right. us and they don't want to see us fall on our face. But unfortunately, that's what we need to do. And when you are yes. A parent, you get your kid and he suddenly starts walking or she suddenly starts walking and you don't press your hands down on their shoulders to stop them getting up. You allow them to get up and you know they're going to drop over, fall over and get back up and fall over. But when it comes to sort of adult life, we do the same kind of thing. We try to protect them where really we should let them fall over and find out and go out and do stuff. It's a problem. It's a problem in life where I think people are overly protective of people for the wrong reasons.
Yeah, I would very much agree with that. For the wrong reasons or the right reasons, maybe even the right reasons when that overprotectiveness is from love, but it needs to be tempered, and we don't always learn how to temper that. I've seen it time and again in parents and other family members, for other people and for myself, in my own life, I really experienced a lot from my own mom who loved me probably more than anyone. And she was very overprotective because she knew that my life was painful just by the act of existing physically. It was very painful. And with that comes a lot of emotional pain and mental pain and spiritual pain and everything else. So she really just wanted me to not hurt, you know, and she wanted to prevent that. But in doing so, she told me what all I couldn't do in this world. She had told me that I'd never be able to drive a car or to attend college or live on my own or have my own home or work full time and support myself. There was a whole host of things that I was fed growing up that I was told that I'd never be able to do. And it really limited my mindset. And I see, you know, decades later, I finally came to kind of where I could see her more objectively. She was a mom who was doing the very best that she could and that she thought she was helping me avoid any disappointments in life. But what she did for me was instill in me an even stronger spirit that I had already been blessed with. And it just, every time that I'd hear what I couldn't do, it made me want to prove her wrong. I don't know if anyone else listening might have that in them, but I certainly do. You tell me what I can't do, I'm going to show you otherwise.
Well, I tell you what, Chris, I've got that. I have got that ever since I was a small child. If somebody tells me I can't do something, that's the thing I focus in on. And I don't even, when I achieve it, I don't even sort of go up to them and go, you know that thing you told me I couldn't do? I just kind of know that I've done it. And I think that is a common trait. And I think there are so many people out there who have got that. And yes. they they go for it and they are successful in life. And that's really what this show is about, is trying to bring that, I suppose, bloody-mindedness out of the people who are almost there, almost ready to go and know what they want to do. But for some reason, they're either fearful that they're not going to be able to pay the bills, or they're fearful that they're going to leave their job and they're not going to get another one, or they're fearful of just being scared and fearful of being afraid, really. And so I think that is a powerful state of mind that you've got, and I do think that the world has generally got that in them, but for some reason we suppress it.
Yeah, absolutely. We do. And I think it does come from a place of fear, like you said, David. You know, fear is, it's such a limiting, crippling sort of thing that is in our lives. And in order to overcome it, I think we really have to just kind of step back and be objective about ourselves too, and just say, okay, you know, what is the real reason why I'm not going forward with this or with that? And just kind of push it aside. You know, just because someone barrels through something toward an end goal, it doesn't mean that they don't have fears about doing so, or that they weren't, it doesn't even mean that they weren't terrified to make that first step out towards their goal. It just means that they pushed through the fear anyway. They just said, okay, fear, I recognize you, I see you, and I'm going to blow right past you, and you can't stop me. And, you know, when we do that, it just opens up the whole world to us. And it doesn't mean that there's not going to be other fears still along the path. They seem to happen regularly. But as you encounter them and just say, no, I'm not going to have anything to do with you, fear. You can't harm me. You can't hold me back. The more we do that, the easier it becomes, and the more easily we recognize it in advance and we're ready for it. So, you know, it can be all for the good, but we have to approach it in that way.
I've said this many times on many shows, but I am scared every day doing this show for some reason. And even when I feel really comfortable and everything's going well, there's a fear. And if I think about it, I get that churning in my stomach and I think, I can't put up with this for the rest of my life. But I do realize that fear is a great way of pushing me on. I call it my body's compass now. And when I see the scary thing, I actually have to go, why am I scared of that? And most of the time it's because it's new, or I know it's going to take me out of my comfort zone. But that's the only way you develop, isn't it? That's the only way that you become bigger, by going into areas you've never done before. And most of the time, and the listeners will agree with this, I'm sure, once you do it, it's actually not that scary. It's the thought more than the actual application of it.
Yeah, that's so true. It is. It's the thought of it. The fear itself is usually not that big of a deal. I mean, the actual thing of it, you know, but it is just our perception is in advance of really encountering it that's the bigger issue. Yeah. About 4 years ago, 5 years ago almost now, I was with a company that I'd been with for 20 years at that time, and we closed our doors at the office that I was at. Now, that was kind of terrifying in one sense. It was really good in other senses, which I'll get to. But the part of me that had been raised with the idea that you have to have a steady paycheck in order to be secure in this world. And it's all about security, and you need to line up this and you need to line up that. And you have to know, you know, what income is coming in at any given moment, and then you plan from there. Well, you know, certainly here in the U.S. in these last, this last decade or whatever it's been, 8 years or so of a recession, when almost everyone, I think I saw a statistic that like 3/4 of the population here has been let go, downsized, laid off, fired, whatever you want to call it, as companies reduce their labor force. Well, so most everyone now has dealt personally or through a loved one who has lost a job. So this is something that I think we're getting better at as a nation in dealing with it. I know I had my own struggles, But what I learned is that, okay, I had kind of been prior to that preparing myself to have my own company, my own business, and do motivational speaking and writing. And I got into products a little bit, product development, that type of thing. And I thought, okay, well, no time like the present. Here I am given this golden opportunity. I was given a nice severance package and that type of thing that held me over for a little bit. It's like, okay, this is the time I need to use this gift that's been given to me of a layoff and use the resources I have monetarily and otherwise and just see what I can do with this. Can I make my business, you know, can I make a go of it? It was completely terrifying because it went absolutely against everything I'd ever been taught about security. And in the U.S. too, as you might know, insurance is a bit of an issue here, health insurance. Well, when you have major health issues, you don't want to be without health insurance here in the U.S. So I always had that in the back of my mind. And so I was really going out on a limb. I made sure that I did get health insurance, but it was pretty limited and it was very expensive and it would only cover, you know, limited stuff. But it's like, well, okay, I need to step out. I need to do this. If I don't, I'll always wonder, what life would have been like if, you know, if I would have been brave and tried it. So I just did it. And over the course of the last 5 years, five or so, I tell you, my mindset totally changed around, David. And I came to see that money is only one of the many resources we're given in this life. And fortunately for all of us, money is the one of the very few resources that there is always more of. You can always get more of it. It might mean you take jobs you don't necessarily like. It might mean you take a couple jobs at one time. Whatever it might be, it might not be optimal, but there's not really a reason to be afraid that there's no money to be had. Now, I don't say that to be insensitive because a lot of families were really affected during this recession in recent years. However, I think if you're resourceful and you prioritize, there's almost always ways to get through anything. And I no longer see money as the determiner. I guess that's what I'm getting at in a very long-winded way. But it took that obstacle away for me. And I want your listeners here to understand that too, that there's always a way and to not use that as an excuse, not use it as a fear to limit themselves in trying different things.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. I'm going to play a speech that also says that we agree with you there. And this is Jim Carrey.
My father could have been a great comedian, but he didn't believe that that was possible for him. And so he made a conservative choice. Instead, he got a safe job as an accountant. And when I was 12 years old, he was let go from that safe job. And our family had to do whatever we could to survive. I learned many great lessons from my father, not the least of which was that you can fail at what you don't want. So you might as well take a chance on doing what you love.
Now, I play that every day, and every day I get shivers up my spine at that very last bit. And it is such a powerful statement, and it is resonating with the world. You know, I could basically just do a 30-second show every day with just that, and I probably would be as successful as I am doing an hour show. That's how powerful that is. Did you think that is the message that we should get out to, yes, the world, but certainly the children going through the education system?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I have to say, too, that I have a lot of, a lot of hope and faith in the millennial generation. And I don't know if that's a U.S. term or not, David, but for, 20, I would say, actually, this is my own definition anyway, of people in their 20s and 30s, thereabouts, that generation, and I suspect young kids coming up too, have maybe a better perspective on life and what matters than maybe some of us who have gone before as generationally speaking.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they seem to understand that, you know, there's that happiness matters in this world. And it really doesn't matter on your deathbed if you have amassed millions of dollars, if you are unhappy or don't have anyone standing around your deathbed with you. And I don't say that to be morbid. I just say it to be, in the end, what really matters. Is it money? Is that, you know, the inspiration or not?
Yeah, but I think with the millennials, and I do think it is probably an American phrase, because I must admit, I hadn't heard it till recently, but I speak to a lot of Americans and they always phrase it that way. But I do think that certainly youngsters coming up, they seem to be more aware of the possibilities because they're more the internet generation. And certainly I went from my education and into work before the internet was formed. Or if it was, I didn't know it. I actually remember somebody first saying the words Google to me and not knowing what it was. And now, how could you not know what Google is? But I think now they can go on the internet and they can look around and they can see things, and that connectivity of being able to see not just in their localized area or what their parents did, but what people are doing in, you know, Madagascar and Australia, and you can look around and you can see things and you can go, that looks fun, I reckon I could do that. And as soon as you kind of get that inkling, then you're halfway there, aren't you? As soon as you go, I think I can do that, a lot of the self-limiting thoughts in your head shift, which is exactly what I did with this. All I did, I listened to a show one day and I thought, I could do that. And as soon as I thought that thought, I thought, how do I do it? And I started doing it. But you've got to have that first thought. I can do that, and then go for it.
Yes, absolutely. It all starts with, I can do that. Of course I can do that. Yeah. And if you don't have that, you're not going to start. Absolutely. But if you do, wow, the world is completely open to you.
Because you, if I go back to sort of when you got your juvenile rheumatoid arthritis and you were sort of age 7, were you, and I don't like to use the word normal, but I don't know how to phrase it, but were you going to were you going to be sort of expected height, or were you always going to be a little lady?
No, I tell you what, before age 7 and when I was diagnosed with juvenile rheumatoid arthritis, I was a very normal height, maybe even a bit tall for my age. And I come from a family that is all quite tall. So there was every indication I would have been, you know, right up there with the rest of them. But within a couple years even into living with JRA, as it's called, abbreviated, because the meds were so powerful, while they allowed me to walk, they freed my movement, so I could, you know, still move legs and arms and that type of thing. But they were so powerful, the steroids and cortisone that I was on, they inhibit bone growth. And so, you know, with kids, how quickly they grow. Well, within 2 years, I already was not growing. And that's huge for a kid. You know, you can, as a parent, you know, you can watch kids, you can almost literally see them growing sometimes. They grow so fast in such a short amount of time. So even by like third grade, when I was, I would have been 9-ish, I guess. That was kind of the last year that I was somewhat still keeping up in the growing department with my peers. And after that, I didn't grow a whole lot more. It was really an issue when I was younger because, oh my gosh, just we could do a whole show on that, David. But yeah, suffice it to say, it messed with my head and with a lot of other people too whenever they'd see me. Plus, I looked younger. I still look a lot younger than what I actually am.
Well, that's good, isn't it? Women pay a fortune for that.
Yes, and I come by it naturally now, not just for the shortness thing anymore, but it just, I don't know what it is. But anyway, I'm 50. I just turned 50 a week or two ago. And
So do you get your ask age at the bar and things like that, if you're in a pub or something?
No, not anymore. It ticks me off. But but I did until I was probably 40 or so. I would regularly be carded. And as I moved on in decades to my 30s and 40s and now 50, it's like, yes, yes, it's a good day if I get carded. Thank you for thinking I'm much younger than I am. But, you know, when you are 30 and you look 15, that ain't so cool.
Because my wife is a little lady. She's 4'10". Now, I'm 6'1", so we've got quite a big...
Oh, she's tall, David.
Well,
4'10".
She would tower over you, I'll be honest. But yeah, she's still a little tiddler. And for years, she used to get sort of carded all the time. And it was just one of those things that she accepted. And she admits that herself. Once it stopped, she wondered why. You know,
yes.
And people do judge youthfulness on size, don't they? Which is a weird way of doing it.
Yeah, it really is. And in business, you know, I go to a lot of networking events. I don't know if networking is as huge in other countries as it is in the U.S., but it's just kind of how you do business here and how you meet people. It's one of the avenues anyway. So I go to a lot of networking events. As much as I hated them, but the gist of a networking event here is, okay, hi, I'm Chris. Here's my business card. Call me if I can help you. That's kind of what it is. It's really a poor way of doing business and introducing yourself to other people, but that's how it works. Well, no one would even look at me because, you know, they looked straight across to the people. They could see straight across, and I'm way down here, you know. So I'd literally be overlooked, or if they did happen to see me, they thought I was some kid in their midst, even at almost 50.
I shouldn't laugh. And, I shouldn't laugh. I can just imagine.
Oh, you can. Yeah, so you can imagine. It brought up all kinds of interesting scenarios and could be really frustrating. But you can, again, I had to kind of learn to just laugh at it and go with it and learn how to put people at ease too, because, you know, we're not, when we see someone different than ourselves, we're not always all that comfortable about it. So I've learned to use humor a lot and be the one to make that first connection, even though that killed me because at heart I'm really an introvert, but I've learned to pretend I'm an extrovert and, you know, put my hand out, introduce myself and make some wisecrack comment that gets them smiling or laughing, and that seems to break the ice, which, you know, is kind of necessary for developing business and other relationships.
Because the weird thing is I'm struggling with, and I'm grappling it in my mind, is obviously, you know, at the age of 7 you would want to grow up to whatever height nature deemed that you was going to grow, but it seems to me that it actually made you who you are. You are almost your unique, authentic self because of it and not despite of it. And I'm wondering, even though I've only sort of met you tonight, whether the Chris Harty 6-foot-tall version would be as outgoing and fun and personable as the smaller version. It's like you've had to battle against it. So you've chipped away at what was in you until you've changed it into diamonds.
Yeah, thank you. I love that. I love that assessment, and I'd say it's quite accurate. Yeah, you know, what nature gave me, or, you know, however you want to look at all of that, what I had to deal with has made me into who I am. And I can, oh man, I can tell you I would not be who I am if I did not have all of the challenges along the way that I've had to deal with, including the height issue. I would have well, I don't like the picture I see in my mind of who the person is that I would have been had I not had these challenges. Yes, the older I get, the more I live with challenges, the more I can look at who I would have been without those challenges, and I would not have liked that person very much.
Oh, so you've got that image, but it's an image that you've almost locked away in a cage. And you're saying, you know, thank God that I didn't become that person.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. And I'm not saying that for anyone else. I'm only saying it for me. But for dealing with a whole lot of crud in life from a very early age and all through, and will continue to as well. boy, it's given me so many opportunities for growth and depth and learning about myself and learning about humanity and other people. It's given me a lot more compassion and grace for other people as well as for myself. And just to say, you know what, we all have issues we're battling. Mine just happened to be more visible. I can't hide them. I walk into a room and you know there's some issues going on with me. And there ain't nothing I can do about it. You're going to form whatever opinion you want to form about me.
Yeah, but you haven't got issues, have you? This is what I think. It's other people that have got the issues. Oh.
Well, I like to think so, David. I'm not quite sure that's entirely accurate, but I certainly have my own issues. I'm not saying that I've solved
issues that would be recognized when you walk into a room. You know, you're just walking into a room with a walking stick. You're a small lady with a walking stick. It's other people that's got those issues, surely. Now, when you're at home and you're laying on your bed and you're watching telly or something, I mean, yeah, I can understand it within your own head and all that kind of stuff, but physically, it's other people's problems, surely.
Yeah. Oh, you're right. It is. I see what you're saying. Yeah, absolutely it is. And it took me decades, David, to realize that. But you said it right there. It is other. I do see it as other people's problems now. Their issues, you know, whatever place they are at their journey. They have either learned at that place in their journey by that time to not judge or, you know, to give everyone a shot or to shut them down or whatever it is that they've learned at that place. But that is their own journey. That is their issue. It is not mine. I just have to put myself out there, you know, the best me that I have to offer. And those who are supposed to be in my life will enter it, and those who aren't will probably have issues and walk away. And I've gotten to accept them and, you know, give them that grace that, okay, maybe someday they'll be at a different place in life. Maybe they won't. But that's not for me to be concerned with, and certainly not for something for me to feel bad about myself for. I kind of feel more sorry for them at this point in life. And I hope that they are given some challenge in life that allows them to grow a little bit from it and learn that lesson, that wisdom that benefits all of us.
It seems to me to be a truth, though, that the people that have started from a lower level, whether they've lost everything financially, they've lost everything, or whatever, they seem to be the ones that, because they're at the bottom, rock bottom, that they start making movements up. The only way is up. But the people that go through quite a comfortable childhood and they easily get into a job, they're the ones that don't have anything to fight against, so don't really find their true self.
Yes. Oh, wow. I've seen that time and again played out. And I really sometimes feel badly for those who are privileged in this world and who go through life beautiful and smart or funny or with money. They have the whole package, you know. We all know those people, and, you know, hooray for them. But I also see that as they go through life and have to deal with the inevitable knocks that wear all of us down over the decades, that they're not prepared because they've never been said no to. They've never encountered encountered a wall. Whereas, like you said, with people who start at the bottom or find themselves there along the way, they got it all going on when life hands them lemonade, because they know how to pick themselves up. They know how to just move through it. You know, wow, that's a skill you really kind of have to just experience to learn it.
Well, you know, I speak to quite a few people, and especially people I used to work with, and they will say, oh, yes, I've been listening to your shows, and yeah, it's got cogs going, and yeah, I know what I want to do. And I sort of say to them, when are you going to do it then? Well, it's not quite right at the moment. And I see them like 3 months later, and I'm having the same conversations with them. And I think, you said that last time. And it's the fear of letting go of what you've got, which is become a dawning realization to me. When I did this. I basically quit my 9-to-5 and thought, what the hell am I going to do? And it's a long story, but I ended up doing this. And now I'm doing this, having conversations with people. I think I should have done it years ago. And I now would like to have a big banner dragged across behind an airplane across the world saying, there's no right time, it's now. And I would just drag that around, because people do have this internal dialogue where they're going, yeah, okay, I'll wait till Christmas and then I'll do it in the new year. And then I'll wait till this and I'll wait till that. And if you think about it, the past you can't do anything about, the future you can't do anything about, but now you can do everything about. And if you do enough nows, then it's going to affect your future. Seems simple to me.
Yeah, it is simple. Once you get it, it's simple. But it's stepping through that, fear, like we talked about earlier. And it's just, the older I get too, the more and more I echo exactly what you're saying as well, because we only have the now. We only have the now. Tomorrow is not guaranteed. Next hour is not even guaranteed. We only have now, and why not start toward our dream, toward whatever we want to do or feel we're here to do? Why not do it now? There will always be excuses. Always, always, always. We can always find excuses. They are so plentiful. You know, it's like having kids, you know. If people are deciding when to have kids, there's never a good time to have kids. There just isn't. You just have to go ahead and you know, get the whole thing going, because
get it going. I like the way you phrased that, Chris. Just
did you like that, David?
Just get it going. I've got a thing going on.
Exactly, because otherwise there will never be a right time to have kids. There will never be enough time to devote to them. There will never be enough money, you know, for most of us, you know, to say, okay, I can cover the bills, you know, really well and not have to worry. There will never be this or that or that or that or this. So you just have to kind of go for it sometimes. And the funny thing about life is it works itself out. It just does. Man. So, you know, just to be more intentional about, okay, now is the time. Right now is the time. Just do it. Now, for me, I'm a perfectionist, so I want to line up everything, every little detail. I want to have it all, you know, have all my ducks in a row and know how I'm going to go about everything. Well, I find when I go that route, I never start anything, because nothing is ever going to be quite in perfect order. It's just not. So you have to just kind of dive in, start learning as you go, pick up the pieces as you go. Know that you're going to have some false starts. You're going to have to start over sometimes. You're going to have to just change course a bit, do things more intelligently. But those are all right. It doesn't mean you fail. It doesn't. And even if you do, who cares? You just start over again. It's all good. It's all good.
John Lennon said, life is what happens when you're busy making other plans. And that's about, it's about right, really, isn't it?
It's so right. Yeah, right on track. Yeah, it does happen, no matter what the heck else we're doing.
So what scares you, Chris? You know, we're having a conversation that's very positive. It's very enthusiastic about grabbing the now. But I know that fear is, you know, we've come full circle. We started off talking about fear. But what scares you? Do you have anything that roots you in place on a daily basis?
Wow, David, that's a really good question. And I have to say, there is not a ton of fears that hold me back at this point. I'm not saying that I'm completely without fears. That's not accurate at all either. But when I face fears, and it usually has more to do with what will someone else think. Gal, I hate that. Do we not ever get over that as humans completely? But that still dogs me at times. The thing about it is, though, because I've dealt with it for so many decades now, and I'm a slow learner sometimes too, so probably your listeners will be much quicker about this than I was, but I have learned to just say, oh, that's right, I don't care about someone else's opinion. I have to just kind of remind myself, and the cool thing is I can remind myself much quicker in the process now. It doesn't cause the angst it used to. It's just like, oh yeah, that's right. A quick reminder to myself. And it's like, oh yeah, their opinion doesn't matter. Okay, this is what I'm going to do then. It frees me up to keep going forward. So I think it's something we all have to continually deal with, whatever those fears might look like for each of us. And we all probably have our own or our own variation. But it's just a matter of keeping pummeling through them. And by doing that, you get much better at dealing with them, more effective and efficient than if you didn't at all.
So what were you doing when you lost your job? Because I'm looking at your list of things that you have done maybe over the last few years, and radio host, video blogger, speaker, author, product creator, blah, blah, blah. Well, what were you actually doing when you actually was made redundant?
As my job, you mean?
Mm.
What was I doing in my job or outside of my job?
Yeah, what were you doing in your job when they said, we're closing the doors and that's it?
Okay. Yeah, okay. I was, the job title was called communications coordinator. And I ran an internal database along with another coworker that housed all of my company's internal documents for our sales forces across all of our brands and all of our products and processes and yada yada.
So it sounds boring, to be honest.
Totally boring. Completely boring. Was I good at it? Yes. Did I love it? No.
So why did you do it? There's a question. Why did you do it if you didn't love it?
Because, David, I did it for insurance. For medical insurance, because that's how screwed up our country has been until the last year or so.
Would you go back and do it again? If I said to you,
oh my gosh,
the door opens, you can go back and get your old job, would you do it?
Ugh, no. No, don't make me, David. No, I would not. And in fact, the last few years where I was working that job, I had to really find some mind tricks to get my butt out of bed and go into the office every day and be productive and not in a nasty mood. And it wasn't that I hated the job itself. It suited me well. I was well suited for it in a lot of ways. But, I was just hiding behind a computer all day long, not a lot of interaction with humans, which I missed at that time. And but I did have jobs before that I hated. And I had to just find ways to kind of trick myself into going into the office and making the best of it. And what I eventually kind of came to get me through that period of life. And I'm not a preacher, so I'm just going to preface it with that. But for me, I'm a very spiritual person. I do believe in God. I do believe in Christ. And I believe I'm here for a reason. And with that, I knew that I was in that place for a particular reason, even though I wasn't given the insight to know what that reason was. I knew I was there for a reason. And I thought, okay, well, then the only impact that I know that I can really make on other people is just to be a resource for them, a help for them. So if they're having a bad day, I can be the one to go over and say, hey, I noticed it kind of seems like you're maybe struggling. Can I help with anything? Or just even to shoot them a smile or a word of encouragement or to let them know that their efforts were appreciated. And that was one of the things I kind of had to create in myself, was that, okay, I am here maybe not so much for myself, but maybe for other people. And the cool thing about that, David, is that when you reach out and become someone who is a support in a sense for other people, that you help them do their thing better, then it has a very strange effect on yourself, on myself. And I started to feel better about myself and why I was there, and that I had a role to contribute. And it was in that I found meaning and fulfillment.
That's what you want in life. I had an email from a lady that I used to work with, and she's still a friend of mine, called Charlotte. If you're listening, Charlotte, this story is going to be about you. But I hired her when I was her manager many, many years ago. And she, in interview, she was rubbish. She really was. And her tests that we used to have to do was just shocking. And HR said to me, you can't hire this lady. And I said, I like her. I really like her. And she has a smile that lights up a room. You know, she's a beautiful, beautiful lady. And her personality and her spirit is just, you'd like to bathe in it. You know, she's one of these people that just makes the room happy when she's around. And she emailed me the other day, and she had been listening to some of the shows. And obviously I share personal stories about where I worked, and she's working in the same environment, so she sees it from the different side. And she sort of emailed me, and you could just see that the spirit was diminished somehow, that she knew what she wanted to do, but she just didn't have the ability to make that leap. And I'm desperately going to go and sort of meet up with her and have a drink and that. But I just, it really ripped at my heart when I saw this email, and I sort of emailed back and said, you know, you can do anything you want. And she said, yes, but, you know, I can't do this and I can't do that. Because deep down, I know this girl can do anything. You know, if she can get a job with me hiring when she was so rubbish in the interview, there's a message for you, Charlotte. You were so rubbish 10 years ago and you still got a job, and you've been doing it for 10 years better than literally everyone else in that office. That shows that you can do anything you want in life and you can go out and get it. You just have to find the thing that makes you happy and then love every single day, because you're such a wonderful person. You should be happy every single day. That's what I would say. And it's the same to, you know, I could change the name from Charlotte to a million, probably 6 million other people's names, and they would get that same story. Deep down, they are a happy life force, but work somehow has left them feeling like they're in limbo land. And I suppose that's what this show is about every single day, saying it's not going to be a quick fix, but as soon as you start wanting to do something else and realizing that you're not happy, and there are options, as I've done, as you've done, as everyone I've spoken to has done, it just changes, doesn't it? It changes, and you then go, yeah, if they offered me that job again, I wouldn't take it for £1 million. Because you've seen the other side, and you've walked through the door, and you can't go back. A little bit of a rant there, Chris, but I felt it had to be said.
It was a good rant, David. Totally. A really good rant. I completely agree with all that you said. It's the rare person who wouldn't need those words said to them at some point in life anyway. And one of the things I've learned, too, is it's not the externals that make us happy. It's the internals. And if you get to a place where you're pretty content with who you are, who you've chosen to become, and it is a choice, we have a choice of who we become, personality wise and otherwise, to an extent anyway, if we can kind of master ourselves and get a good attitude about ourselves and see that we have value no matter what we do or don't do in this world, and no matter what the externals around us are about, whether it's job-wise or family-wise or money-wise or whatever, if you're content within yourself, you'll be content no matter what environment you're in. If you're not content within yourself, it's ultimately not going to matter what job you have, what people are in your life. You're not going to be happy. And that's a really sad place to be. I know a lot of people who live there, but boy, I just encourage people to really do a little bit of introspection. It's sometimes difficult. And I know it's not something we embrace in this country very as much as we should. That's for sure. But I think it goes a long ways in creating a life that's fulfilling and happy, and where you can spread a joy around you to, make other people's lives better. And that really enriches your own. It's a pretty cool place to be.
So what should we say to Charlotte? Let's make this show the Charlotte show, and I'm going to send it to her early, because you did a job that you didn't like, and it was boring, and you went in there, and once it was taken away from you, you wouldn't go back. Do we say that people should transition gradually, because I'm a great believer then it is a slide of faith, which is the safer way. And you start working on things, you start connecting with people before you then go, I'm not going to work here anymore. And once you build up enough momentum, you can actually make that leap quite easily and it doesn't feel so dramatic. Is that the message that we should say to Charlotte, or should we give another words? What do you reckon, Chris?
Oh, Charlotte, you're capable of so much more than you give yourself credit for. Don't box yourself in. Go try different things. Go try different things. And maybe you don't even know what's going to make you happy, or maybe you do. Maybe volunteering somewhere and learning some new skills is going to either reinforce what you think you want to do, or it's going to say, nope, I thought I wanted to do that, but now I don't. Or maybe it's going to introduce some things to you that you never even considered before. Just believe in yourself. Just go out into the world and do. Just experiment. You know, there is no failure. There is no shame in that. Just make connections as you go. It's really about connecting with other people anyway, just like you said, David. And it's why you hired her, because you just saw her spirit. Well, the world is desperately in need of people who have a joy about them and a spirit that knows no bounds. Be that for other people. And you know what you do the external stuff around that, not all that important. But do find something that makes you happy, because life is too short. So just keep going, keep searching. It's all good.
Go for it, Charlotte. Go for it. Go Charlotte.
For Charlotte.
Go Charlotte. Woo-hoo. Go Charlotte. So what do you think about the kind of logic that if you find something that you really love and you put your whole heart in it, ultimately you will do it better and money will come your way, instead of thinking I've got to earn money and doing something that you just think is for the monetary gain?
Yeah. Yep. Just, I think the money does typically follow as well. You know, and it's not always a straight path either. So sometimes you just have to hang in there, but find something that you enjoy doing. Boy, I was just talking to someone this morning, who at my church, in fact, who, has been struggling with her own job for a long time, and she's not happy, but she says, well, I could go somewhere else, do something else, but it'd be a big pay cut. And I just don't want to, you know, give up the money. It's like, well, geez, you've been miserable since I've known you. If apparently money is not really making you all that happy. So why not chuck the money thing and go do something that makes you happy? Wow, it's so totally worth it. And I think once we do find that thing that makes us happy, we either are going to be content with it, not if it's something that inherently just doesn't bring in a lot of money, fine. As long as you're happy, that's a good thing. The bills will get paid one way or another. But
should I give a message to your friend?
Yes.
Right, I'm going to give a message to your friend, Sad Lady, whatever her name. What is her name?
Yes. We'll call her Sad Lady.
We'll go with Sad Lady. She's not going to listen to this anyway. But Sad Lady, I will say to you that you would not be poorer than I was when I quit my job. I quit my job and literally I was scrabbling around at the back of sofas to pay bills. But I knew that I was going to do something that would change my life, change other people's lives and make me happy on a daily basis. And when I look back on it, I would do the same thing in a blink of an eye. I really would. And yes, it was scary. Yes, other people were saying I was mad. And I'm still mad in many ways, but I'm happily mad. And that's the difference.
Yes, that's a great message. The Sad Lady needs that, and so do a lot of other people do. And I did at one point in my life too, so I'm not passing judgment on that. But boy, it's a good place to move beyond.
Absolutely. Now, you said a phrase on there about sort of curly careers and squiggly careers, and it's not a straight line. And I'm going to play the theme of the show now, and this is a speech by Steve Jobs, who says that really, you can't see the future, you can only look back and connect the dots. This is Steve Jobs.
Of course, it was impossible to connect the dots looking forward when I was in college, but it was very, very clear looking backwards 10 years later. Again, you can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect them looking backwards. So you have to trust that the dots will somehow connect in your future. You have to trust in something, your gut, destiny, life, karma, whatever. Because believing that the dots will connect down the road will give you the confidence to follow your heart, even when it leads you off the well-worn path. And that will make all the difference.
What do you reckon? Does it make the difference?
It makes all the difference. I completely ditto what he said. I love that quote. I am glad you run it, David. Because he's right. We do not see the dots. We can only see them in hindsight. And you just have to go forward and trust that the dots that you're acquiring in life as you go will create something pretty spectacular as you keep going forward. And it might be a year down the road, it might be a decade, it might be 3 decades down the road. But hang in there, gain all the experience that you can. I'm amazed in my own life, things that I, dabbled in my 20s, jobs or skills or even extracurricular activities or whatever it might have been. I'm amazed at how those things play into my life, have played into my life in my 30s and then in different ways in my 40s. And now they still come into play in my 50s and things all along the way. They just have a way of shaping you as you go, and they come together in the end to be exactly what's supposed to be for you. It's the coolest thing ever. I kind of like seeing how dots come together.
Did you think your medication at the age of 7, was that your big dot? Was that really this kind of the dot that started you becoming Chris Harty that you are today?
There wouldn't be a short chick with the walking stick without it. It's so true. Yeah, and all the pieces along the way have made me into who I am and what I'm doing today. I never, David, in a million years would have ever thought I'd speak anywhere or write a book. I really never thought I had a voice because the world told me I didn't. The world just told me that I was this incapable, handicapped kid and then adult who really didn't have much to offer the world. And wow, it's been a journey, something for another show, but I've learned quite the opposite is true, and I've gained a lot of wisdom, and not just me, other people have too. But if we allow wisdom to come into our lives, if we allow ourselves to learn from the tough stuff of life, it will teach us a lot. And with that, boy, I tell you, we have a lot to give back to other people to help them with their journey as well.
So the last question before I send you back in time on the Sermon on the Mic is, do you think that everyone can have a kick-ass life?
Yes, totally, absolutely, of course. Yeah, it's a choice. Totally a choice.
Right. Well, we're going to send you back in time now. And this is the part of the show that I call the Sermon on the Mic, but basically is time travel. And I'm going to play the theme tune and you're going to whiz back and meet your younger version. And if you could walk into a room and meet the young Chris Harty, what age would you choose and what advice would you give? Well, we're going to find out because I'm going to play the tune and now you're up. This is the Sermon on the Mic.
With the best bit of the show, the Sermon on the Mic, the Sermon on the Mic.
Well, hello, my dear. You have no idea what's to come in your life, and you're going to be amazed. And happily so, I'm glad to say, you are in college, you're just nearing the end of college, you just graduated, and through all of that, it's been a time of growing, it's been a time of learning a lot about yourself and your place in the world, or at least what your place isn't in the world. Your place in the world is not to shrink and be small. Your place is not to be a wallflower trying to hide because you don't think you have value, because you think people are repulsed when they see you. your place is not to be less than what you are. Your mom is dying of cancer. You're doing her best, your best to help her. But at the same time, you don't know what you're going to do without her, because she's been as many challenges as she presented to you. She's also been your human guiding force, the one support that's been there always. And you don't know what you're going to do without her. How are you going to function in the world? Once you graduate, is anyone going to give you a job? Will anyone see your value? What skills do you have? You wonder if you have anything to offer the world. And I just have to tell you that you do, beyond measure, beyond anything you could ever, ever know within yourself at this age. But it will come to you. It will come to you slowly. You're going to have a whole lot more hurts in this life. A lot of people are going to come and go. And that's just how human relationships often are. They will enter your life and they will exit your life for various reasons. But you'll go on. You'll have yourself, and you'll have God, and he'll be with you the whole time, even when it doesn't feel like it. But he will. He'll see you through. He'll provide for you. He's looking out for you. You just can't see it, and that's okay. But you're going to go forward, and you're going to find your voice in this world, and there's going to be a whole lot of people along the way who help you and who appear at just the right time and have just the right word for you and just the right opportunity. And you might not even see it at the time, but they're going to make a big influence on you. And over the course of the next several decades, you're going to become who you admire from a distance at age 20, and who you would never have thought you could become. But you will become her. You will become that person who you admire from afar and who you think you don't have it in you to be like her, but you do, and you will. And it's not going to be easy, but you will find your way. Don't give up. Don't let the world tell you you can't. Don't let the world tell you you're small. And don't believe it. Just don't believe it. Keep plowing forward. Plow through the pain. Plow through the fears. Plow through it all. And do your own thing. And eventually you're going to be that woman who inspires other people, because you will have proven yourself. And maybe not to all of the world, maybe not to all the humans out there. And that's okay. You don't need their approval. You are quite fine on your own. And those who need to hear a word from you to be inspired in their own lives will hear that word from you. And those who aren't ready to hear it for their own lives, who think they have it all figured out, maybe they do and maybe they don't. They don't need to be a part of your life. You don't need their approval. They have their own path to go on. It doesn't need to interfere with yours or interact with yours or intersect. You have your own path. Follow it. Follow it. One step in front of the other. Even if you don't even see ground in front of you, just keep taking those steps. You're going to be just fine.
Chris, how can our audience connect with you?
David, I'd love to hear from your audience members. There's a whole host of ways that they can connect with me. They can go to Facebook under Short Chick with the Walking Stick. Short Chick with the Walking Stick on Facebook. Twitter and LinkedIn, look for my name, Chris, K-R-I-S. Hart is H-A-R-T-Y. That's K-R-I-S-H-A-R-T-Y. And I'm on Pinterest as well, and YouTube under Chris Hardy. They can email me at info@shortchick.com, and they can also visit my website, shortchick.com. easy enough, shortchick.com. And from there, they'll find all the ways to connect with me as well. I'd love to hear from them.
You are everywhere, and we will have all those links on the show notes. Chris, thank you so much for spending time with us today, joining up those dots. And please come back again when you have more dots to join up, because I do believe that by joining up those dots and connecting our past is the best way to build our futures. Chris Hartie, thank you so much.
Thank you, David. It's been a pleasure.
David doesn't want you to become a faded version of the brilliant self you were once.
Thanks for listening to today's episode of Join Up Dots, brought to you exclusively by PodcastersMastery.com, the only resource that shows you how to create a show, build an income, and still have time for the life that you love. Check out PodcastersMastery.com now.
David doesn't want you to become a faded version of the brilliant self you were once to become. So he's put together an amazing guide for you called the 8 Pieces of Advice That Every Successful Entrepreneur Practices, including the 2 that changed his life. Head over to joinupdots.com to download this amazing guide for free, and we'll see you tomorrow on Join Up Dots.